time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Min, Veronica, and Jamie. Min, Veronica, and Jamie are with the Tyree Scott Freedom School and Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. Min, Jamie, and Veronica, thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So start out, tell us about the two different organizations, Tyree Scott Freedom School and the Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. Who wants to jump in?
Sure. The Tyree Scott Freedom School is an organization that we run currently. It's twice a year, and there's a summer one and a winter one. And the summer one is 10 days over summer break. And it's for youth 15 to 21, and there they learn about institutional racism, the roots of poverty, knowing their rights with the police and the education system. They learn leadership skills to do community organizing. They learn the history of the civil rights movement that they don't necessarily learn in school. And it culminates in speaking to council members about what they think the current issues are in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And then off of that comes YUIR, which goes more into depth on the things that we talk about in Freedom School. And YUIR is a group of very committed young individuals, most of them past alumni of the Freedom School. And we get together on a weekly basis to talk about relevant issues here in Seattle that relate to the issues of poverty and racism. And we especially focus on something called the prison industrial complex, which just in general in the Freedom School and in YUIR is a very important topic for us.
Yeah, and Veronica is actually one of, we have 8 interns in Youth Undoing Institutional Racism right now, and Veronica is one of them.
Very good. Also a student at the UW.
So can anyone participate in these two organizations?
Definitely. We have a very wide range of people and of all different ages and from all different places. And it's really cool because we have people from a lot of different organizations, a lot of different areas in Seattle, and a lot of different voices are really represented at Freedom School and at YUIR.
Yeah, it's definitely cross-generational. So we'll have community organizers from Seattle come in and do workshops. Like Min said earlier, Know Your Rights. And I think it's more focused towards young people, so 15 to 21. Occasionally we'll have younger than 15, as young as 14 or 13, if they're pretty special young people.
Mm-hmm. So talk more about racism and institutional racism and why the focus on young people.
Well, we talk about the focus on young people, I think, is really just to empower people who are really, really affected by institutional racism. I think especially in schools, a lot of people, you know, feel different things that that they maybe can't articulate because they don't have a background to draw from. They don't have a history to talk about. And the great thing about Freedom School is that it brings a lot of kids who've already been thinking about institutional racism, but that don't have maybe the vocabulary to talk about it, don't have the context to put it in. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and I think at the age that we're targeting, it's the first time when people are thinking about, you know, the world and themselves and how they fit into the world. And they're learning that from school. And because we're located in the South End in Beacon Hill, we get predominantly students of color, predominantly students from low economic, socioeconomic backgrounds. So we're providing them with alternative views to think about, like, their positions in the world and also tools for them to be able to critique that or be able to, like, make the changes they want to make.
And do you, when we're talking about institutionalized racism, is that pretty much across the board that most of our major institutions promote racism in one way or another?
Definitely, we try to look at institutional racism as being the foot of oppression because institutions have more power as a whole. I think with young people, the institution that most impacts them is education. So Freedom School is a way to teach young people about things that they aren't learning in high school or middle school and things that they can't necessarily articulate on their own, but something that they're definitely feeling inside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we, in Freedom School, we do analyses about how institutions can collaborate with each other to work against them too. So we make connections between the institution of education and the institution of prison, for example, in that, you know, Black youth, for example, get disproportionately more expelled and are also disproportionately represented in juvenile systems. So we kind of talk about how institutions relate to each other and how they can learn to sort of critique that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talk a lot about the history of different institutions here in the United States, and we start from the very beginning of history mm-hmm. when the first settlers came over to the United States, and we talk about how even from the beginning, the United States was established as a very, the privileges were handed out disproportionately. So we focus a lot on how these institutions instead of individuals are, you know, the reasons mm-hmm. why certain groups of people have been, have not been able to do as well in the United States as others.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because that's one of the main analyses we're trying to give young people is we are trying to provide them with a tool to talk about racism, but we're also trying to explain to them that it's racism is systemic rather than interpersonal, because we don't want them to go through the world feeling, you know, the kinds of discrimination that they may feel and think that it's on an interpersonal level, and we want them to get away from critiquing, you know, rather than individual people, start thinking about bigger structural forces.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that someone can grow up currently in the U.S., go through our schooling system, and not, to a degree or other, come out racist?
It depends on how you define that.
Yeah.
I think our school system is... institutionally racist. It's definitely a call. I don't know, to say an individual is racist is very
the way we usually define racism, yes, in Freedom School isn't exactly how a lot of people think about it. So instead of saying somebody is racist because they have certain ideas against certain different races, mm-hmm. different stereotypes, we say that racism is power
plus prejudice.
So the whole idea behind that is that people who have the power, people who the institutions in the United States represent and that are kind of have been built to serve, these are the people that have the power to be racist. And so there, we use a distinction between racist and bigoted. And bigoted is more what people would usually think about when they think racist. When you have those stereotypes, when you do make bad impressions on people based on their race. But we say that racism is only possible if you have the power to be racist, if the institutions support you in being racist. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
I think it's a hard concept to understand and not go through the history and the process and the analysis. And yes, we define racism very differently than I think our country would define racism on a broad level. But there is a difference between institutional racism that is holding, you know, oppression in place versus an individual who is bigoted, I guess you would mm-hmm. say.
Yeah, and Freedom School borrows its curriculum from the People's Institute, which is the same kind of program but condensed in an intensive 2-day training for adults. And that's also where we borrow the curriculum, the definition of racism equals power plus prejudice. And I think some would go so far to say that, like, as a person who benefits from institutions and advances from institutions, if they're not critiquing that, then they are implicitly benefiting from it, mm-hmm. and therefore implicitly racist,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, like Jamie said, a really hard concept to grapple, because we sort of grow up in a society where we think if we have good intentions and we're good at heart, then we can't be racist, mm-hmm. but that may be true, whereas where you have good intentions but you're still you know, benefiting from the systems and therefore keeping these kinds of inequalities in place.
Definitely. And I mean, in all these things, what's great about the Freedom School is that it gives, we don't start talking about the actual definition of racism until more towards the end. And you get all the history and we start talking about it and you really warm up to talking about poverty and racism. Because, I mean, these are really inflammatory issues sometimes. And people have different opinions and come in with different views. And so the whole idea is to give them, start giving them this background and then introduce this new definition that is scary but also empowering.
Yeah, I would imagine most people growing up here in the U.S. would would think that they're not racist or even recognize that the system itself has.
It's hard to see it. It's pretty hidden.
Yeah, and it's tricky in really, really educated liberal cities too, like Seattle and Portland and like the Pacific Northwest, because you kind of get that liberal education of like, we're post-racial and we're all really equal. And so that's kind of hard to unlearn too, as funny as that can be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But once you start, you know, talking about it, then people will start realizing, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't learn about this in school. I didn't learn about this in school. I can't believe that we only focused on this in school. I mean, just in the car, we were talking about how the history of Seattle isn't really taught very much, you know, in the history of the civil rights movement in Seattle. And a lot of great stuff happened here.
Yeah.
And I remember the history that we covered in middle school when we did take the time to focus on Washington's history was mostly logging history, which, you know, I'm sure has its merits. But I think it would also be really nice if we could really talk about Seattle and the stuff that has gone down in Seattle and the stuff that is still going down in Seattle. Because a lot of people aren't aware of it.
Talk a little bit more about that. What have you found that is not covered in our history books here locally?
It's interesting, actually, because yesterday I was at the office for the American Friends Service Committee. And I was looking through all of these newspaper clippings. And I know there's been a lot of talk about police brutality lately. And there's been a lot of action that's starting to take place around that. But I never realized that there was such a history of police brutality in Seattle and that it goes back a really long time and that there a lot of people have been working against police brutality for years. And I only just became aware of the issue recently. So that, for example, is something that I would be interested in because I feel that usually we don't talk about police forces and we don't talk about the injustices that they have taken part in. And that for me was just really interesting to see.
Yeah. In terms of resistance history, Seattle has a really rich history of civil rights resistance. And there was, for example, a really big Black Panther chapter here that was all around the Central District. That's something else we do in the Freedom School. We go on historical field trips where Aaron Dixon used to be a Black Panther would himself lead students through a tour of, you know, the Central District and show them where they used to meet, where they used to organize, where they used to bomb. And that's really empowering for youth who, you know, in school are given really passive, if at all, histories of their people. And it can show them possibilities of who they can be and what they can fight for. The Freedom School itself is a homage to the legacy of the Mississippi Freedom Summers that happened in 64. And it was, during the civil rights where, organizers from the North would travel to the South to fight segregation and get Black people to vote. And, it's also a tribute to the Seattle Freedom School that happened in 66, which was a huge public school boycott because of the segregation issues. And they built these impromptu freedom schools in community centers where they taught, you know, youth of color things that they weren't allowed to have access to in school. So we just, you know, we feel really honored to be, like, the issues aren't the same now. And they, in some ways, they're trickier and more subtle, and they're not as obvious as segregation, but we feel honored to be able to pull from our history and like stand on, you know, the shoulders of giants and do organizing that we believe is relevant to our time.
And again, it goes to people like Aaron Dixon, Tyree mm-hmm. Scott, right. who
yeah, Tyree Scott that. Also.
So anyone can as we mentioned previously, anyone can participate with UIR, YUIR. Mm-hmm. How does one contact YUIR? Is that through American Friends Service Committee or?
Yeah, we are actually in the process of creating our own website. Do you want an email address?
Well, for people listening, yeah. How would they best contact you guys?
Sure. Dustin Washington is the director of Community Justice Program, which is a department in American Friends Service Committee, which coordinates the Freedom School. And his email address is dwashington@afsc.org. So YUIR, Youth Undoing Institutional Racism, is a one-year internship program for youth where we provide them with a small stipend to organize with us for a year. And it's usually youth that we thought were super engaged and promising from Freedom School. And right now we have 8 youth interns. And I mentioned Veronica, who's with us, is one of them, who's a freshman at the UW. And we organize further outside of Freedom School. So this year we're really committed to working on issues around the prison industrial complex. And in short, that's just sort of the big business of prisons, the profit that comes from prisons, and the people who are ensnared by the prison system. So obviously that's a racial issue to us. And we do things from planning forums where we are trying to think of strategic plans to stop the new juvie jail that's planned to build in 2015, and to also trying to brainstorm ways to support the teacher testing boycott right now, mm-hmm. because we also think that standardized testing in its own way also funnels into the prison industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little more about it?
About standardized testing and...
Or just why YUIR.
Yeah, so we get together and talk about these issues, prison and industrial complex and standardized testing and a lot of other things, and really focus on becoming a tight-knit group that can work together and listen to each other and come up with skills and support each other in our own endeavors outside mm-hmm. of YUIR, and trying to organize and become more effective community leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've worked with Freedom School and YUIR. I'm one of the coordinators there, and I've worked with them for less than a year now, and I've done organizing in the past with other organizations, but it's been my favorite place by far, just because of the emphasis it has on relationship building and mm-hmm. community building. Mm-hmm. Like Veronica said, we meet once a week to just have dinner and to check in with each other. And when I first started going to these meetings, I was like, what's the agenda? What's this
meeting
about?
I know. You go in and you're thinking, oh my goodness, okay, we got to get point one, point two, point three. Yeah. Let's get to work.
Yeah. Like relationship building never even occurred to me as an important priority, but it definitely makes a difference in the work you do, because mm-hmm. I feel like we're not just people who organize together, but we're friends and family who know mm-hmm. each other really well. And that sort of helps us do our work better too.
Yeah. And I think also it makes me look at organizing in a different way, because I don't just see it as, getting a whole bunch of people around one issue and just mostly unrelated people who just come together for this one mm-hmm. problem and then separate,
mm-hmm.
but really getting people to come together and recognize, their inner beauty. This sounds somewhat cliche, but...
Who people are.
Yeah, who people are, and really focus on people and how great people can be and how much you can learn from different individuals and stuff.
Yeah, Seattle's organizing communities, it's like a big, small community. So, you know, YUIR is not the only group working on the prison industrial complex, but definitely seeing everyone come together, and there's like a lot of crossing over with different issues. And so... it does feel more like a family than mm-hmm. colleagues, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And the Freedom School, how do people get involved with that, since that kind of sounds like it's a stepping stone to getting into YUIR?
Yeah, the next Freedom School will happen in the summer around June, and applications will be available. I'm not sure about this, but a couple of months beforehand for sure. And again, the email address for that is dwashington@afsc.org. And that's Dustin Washington, who is the director of those programs. As for adults who would love to get involved in this work and support the youth, as we mentioned, the curriculum is sponsored by the People's Institute, and they have trainings that are more often. The next one is February 28th and March 1st. Mm-hmm. And those, if you look on the People's Institute's Northwest website, and you do have to distinguish that it's Northwest because the People's Institute is a national website, whereas the Northwest one is more local. You could get the locations for that, but it's February 28th and March 1st, and it's around 8 to 5. And the People's Institute, as a national organizational body, has trained like 100,000 people. And, you know, Jamie and I have gone through it as adults, and it's definitely, like, if I could say, like a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. It's really, really changed the way we go through the world interpersonally and helps us be better organizers.
Absolutely.
So let me throw a question at you that isn't actually directly, well, it sort of is related to the two organizations, but one of the memes that is repeated in corporate media is that young people, youth today, are just selfish and, you know, they're the me generation and aren't really contributing much to the planet. What do you think about that?
I think it's really interesting that that's coming from adults' mouths, because the People's Institute does a lot of trainings with adults, and they're it's a two-day training, but it's similar to Freedom School, and you'll see a lot of adults who just cannot understand, you know, what we're talking about here, and you see young people who so naturally can explain their feelings and what they're seeing in the world around these issues, and I feel like a lot of the young people that I see can understand more about their lives and what's going on than most of the adults that I see go through this. So I think that's funny. I think young people aren't really given the chance to say what's important to them and speak their truth. I think it's definitely also an adult issue. So
Yeah, like Jamie said, I don't think apathy is chronic ever. And I think if youth are apathetic, you should think about, you know, why they're being apathetic. And you can see that in schools, you know, when you have disproportionate rates of youth of color dropping out or being truant. And you could just label that as apathetic, or, you know, you could look at a bigger analysis and think maybe they're not being taught anything that they think is relevant to their lives.
Definitely.
Yeah, and also I feel like youth all over, you know, not just with us or in Seattle, but all over are doing great things. So I kind of feel like it's just not true.
No. Yeah. And especially after you go to Freedom School and you see so many young people quickly, you know, pick up on the whole idea that, yeah, I want to organize. Yeah, I want to do something about this.
Yeah.
I really do want to work. And it's just, it's just funny because it's so quick. I mean, they're ready for it. I mean, we're ready for it, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's great to have a place where you are empowered to do, you know, to do stuff.
Yeah, and the attendance at Freedom School, too, we have an overwhelming response of applications every year, and we usually take about, we're supposed to take 25, but we always take around 40 to 50, and the room always gets packed, and it's voluntary, it's during break,
and it's long, and it's
like 6 hours, and they want to be there, and they're super engaged, so I think that's the best testament of all.
Definitely.
So it sounds like a program that could be instituted in our regular schools, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also encourage any educators who are interested in this to definitely contact American Friends Services and, reach out, because it's not only directed towards young people. It's not only directed towards specific people. I think anyone who's interested in this definitely has that available to them if they want it.
Well, yeah, I would think those of us that are older and, you know, in power ones that need education and awareness training on this more than anyone.
Yeah. Oh, there's a dog in here.
So we've got about 3 minutes left. What final thoughts about YUIR and the Tyree Scott Freedom School would you like to leave with people?
I mean, it really is just a life-changing experience. And it's, you know, once your eyes are opened to all of these issues, you can't, you know, close them back. Mm-hmm. You're going to close them again. You start seeing these issues everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're permanently changed and you're permanently motivated to do something about it. And that's really what I've gotten from Freedom School, is a desire to go out and do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just looking at the Freedom School report that they were doing because that's the nice thing about Freedom School, too, is they're always reflecting and trying to modify their programs to be better. And in the report, we did a focus group and we surveyed a lot of past applicants and their parents. And some of the comments were like, Freedom School gave my son the ability to, you know, express what he's been feeling in school, or like it gave like it. I noticed my son walking more proudly after Freedom School, you know, or like it, like Freedom School lifted something off my chest. And like those things, you know, especially in the culture of education and testing, aren't quantifiable, but I'm so glad that there is a space for that sort of personal growth that they have available, even if it is only, you know, 10 days out of the year.
Definitely. And I think there's a lot to be said about knowledge is power, and Freedom School can feel like it's the missing puzzle piece to things that, you know, are experienced in everyday life, and how knowing things can really change how you see yourself and how you see this world. And I think it can be really empowering, definitely. And I know it was for me when I went through Freedom School the first time, and it changed, life-changing for sure.
Does the city or state or any government institutions offer support to Freedom School?
Actually,
definitely. We so the city of Seattle has a racial and social justice initiative program, and they're very close with us. So Youth Undoing Institutional Racism right now, as we've said, is working on the prison industrial complex, and we are partnering with them to coordinate these forums. And in the forums that are twice a week, that you should also contact Dustin for, is where we tackle the new youth jail and various other projects. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we do work closely with them, and we do gain a lot of support from them.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you three for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We have just been talking with Jamie, Min, and Veronica, all with the Tyree Scott Freedom School and Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. And if you want to find out more about the two organizations, you can do so via Dustin Washington at the American Friends Service Committee. His email is dwashington@afsc.org.